Welcome to Coffee with the Sarlows. We are your hosts of the show, Karen and Kelly Sarlo. Whether you're struggling with grief or you just need answers, we connect you with spirit to find relief, clarity, and direction in life. We can help you move forward.
Hi, Kelly.
Good morning.
Good morning. I have a story today that I absolutely love and I'm excited to share. The client's name, make believe, because we never give away confidentiality. I'm just going to call him Marco. And he asks at the beginning of his session for a person. And he just says to me, if I just give you a name, would you be able to just connect with that soul? And that's how he words it. And I find a lot of people do. And I said, I'll give it a try, which is always my response to, I will give it a try. I'll give it my best. And so he just simply gives me a name. He just says the name Maria. And I hear this woman reply, I'm his grandma. And I said, oh, okay. I said, Marco, this woman says that she's your grandmother. And he goes, yeah. And he says, I'm just open to hearing anything, Karen. And he said, I'm truly open to hearing anything. I'm not here because I expect or want you to prove that you've got her. I believe it. He says he's open in the sense that he believes that there is a connection and that he would love more messages than me trying to prove it with random pieces of information. And I said, no problem. And he says, I just want to hear everything she has to tell me. He says, I am so excited to be able to connect with her again. And I'm sure that in what you say, there will be random validations. But I'm not sitting here waiting for you to say she died before my grandpa or like that kind of thing. So I said, okay. So I just said to grandma, he's giving you the green light. She shows me a white coat. And I said, oh, you're a doctor. And she goes, mm-hmm. And then she shows me animals. And I said, oh, you're a veterinarian. And I don't know why, but that made me so happy.
You don't know why?
Well, maybe because of our two dogs. And my best friend. And she explains to me, and then I relate it to Marco, that she has to be able to treat every kind of animal possible. And that given the time frame, because Marco's my age, so his grandma is like decades ago. Mm-hmm. So she shows the land. She also kind of explains that I have to be able to see the cows and the goats and the horses and the dogs and the cats and the anything, like the chickens.
Well, I think for listeners, this might be something where they don't understand, like, you specialize when you go into veterinary medicine. So you can do farm animals, you can do domesticated animals like cats and dogs. Like, you have mm-hmm. to kind of choose what you're going to truly learn. Mm-hmm. And this woman had to do it all.
Yes, at least in this country, right? Mm-hmm. So she shows that she has to do all kinds of animals. And then she shows me that she had to get on a horse to actually go see animals for a period of time. And that her method of transportation was horse. Mm-hmm. And she shows the bag that she had to like put on the sides of the horse with her supplies in it and her instruments or whatever. And then she shows over time how things changed and she had a horse and a cart. And then she shows that she has this old vehicle and on and through all these different decades of her life. My God, Kelly, the change was incredible. Mm-hmm. And I think about how we see change with computers and how I sit down and I have to go from one operating system in Microsoft to another. And then I think about the types of cars I have, you know, I've got rear backup. Right now I can look in a forward facing camera in order to see behind me. Mm-hmm. And I think of the changes that she actually went through. Mm-hmm. It just blew my mind. So I say all of this to him and he goes, see, this is what I mean by getting actual validations. He goes, that have so much meaning and context to me as opposed to the random ones at the beginning. He goes, this is what I wanted.
That's really neat because I like, personally, just listening to your story, I'll say as a listener, those would still work as validations for most people, mm-hmm. right? Okay, so she did this. She had this type of transportation. Then it evolved into this. She treated these. Like, it's just interesting to me what people consider open and what others consider validations versus meaningful validations, mm-hmm. right? And I'm not picking on Marco by any means. I love the openness mm-hmm. that it sounds like he has. This could have fallen flat for someone else.
Oh, yeah, totally.
And they could have been like, well, what is she trying to say to me?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I see that, and I know you do, and when you had your own practice doing all this and when we do live events, it is. It's very individual as to what one person will say. She was so vague. It had no meaning. And mm-hmm. it's like, well, if I remember your session, it had tons of meaning. Mm-hmm. And it was in context. So you can see the difference in what people value versus what they don't value, but also in what they are dismissive of.
Yeah, I also think it's really interesting, like, because grief changes all of that too, right?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You, depending on the day, depending on the morning, the mood, those validations of like, oh, she wore her hair in curlers. Could be yeah. like, oh, that's my grandma. Keep going. Because that's what you want and you miss. And it's just like, I kind of get to see her a little bit as you describe her to me.
Yeah.
And I miss seeing her. On a different day, it's like, I don't care about the curlers. What does she have to tell me?
Yeah.
Right? Like, so I think it's so touch and go for every person, depending on what those emotional needs might be. And the emotional needs when they book the session, when they're really open versus when they finally show up and have had time to like think about it, get nervous about it, and then feel the time stress of I only have an hour
yeah.
or I only have half an hour. Like it's fascinating to me.
Yeah. And then also the person that might say, didn't women in that generation all put their hair in curlers?
Well, no, she couldn't afford them. Like,
yeah. Right?
Yeah. It's
so
interesting.
Yes, it is. And I find just being the observer of the person in the session is what's really important. Because like you said, it usually plays out in some of their comments or behaviors for some mm-hmm. that you will see, or I will see the nervousness or the grief present itself. Mm-hmm. But I'll say not always, because there are clients that will just sit there with their head down and they don't really want me to see them. Or they will show up on a Zoom call and say the camera's not working and that they're going to keep their camera off. And there are people that are very genuine and showing up with their own integrity, and there are people that are not.
Mm-hmm.
It varies. Anyway, so back to the story. So she shows me traveling to see animals, and then she shows me having her own clinic. And then how
badass.
Yes, she is a badass, Kelly. And she's a bigger badass than you even, well, maybe that you could imagine right now, because she ends up hiring and training other veterinarians, other people in the community, because there's just no school in that country.
Wow.
There is just no ability to be able to get into a big city. So she takes it into her own hands as she's, you know, older, more mature, and just says, I am capable of teaching. I'm going to do it. So she develops her own school out of necessity. And when I say that to him, oh, geez, she's got a school. And like, she's got this massive center. And he's like, that's my grandma. And he's excited to hear it repeatedly. And then he goes, does she have anything else to say? And she goes, oh, I'm just making him suffer. And I said, for what? She goes, he graduated vet school Aww. After I died, and that's what he wants to hear. But I'm a storyteller. I'm a teacher. And she goes on to describe how she loved in her class and all of this, how to teach, but telling stories about the animals and giving the animals character to the students so that they felt a connection. And this is key. This is super important to how she is a veterinarian and how she teaches and what she creates in all of her students. And what her grandson learned from her when he went to his own university, but not in the same country.
Mm-hmm.
So his family ends up moving and he ends up in a different country where there's just more of a system, I'll say, of teachers compared to what he had. And a system that teaches it very science-based, and this is how she said it, and he agreed. But where she taught, yes, science has its place and absolutely you have to follow protocols and you need to do what I tell you to do. And you will fail if you don't. So she's very, yep, we do these things for a reason because you have to know how to do it. It has to be done right. there has to be a standard. You have to be doing this properly. She is very much based like that. But the absolute other part of it was, but all of that flies out of the window if your intuition tells you the opposite. And the school doesn't teach that for him mm-hmm. in that sense of, if your intuition tells you otherwise, follow it. No, no, no.
Insurance doesn't cover intuition.
Exactly. Oh my God, you said it so good. So he's now in a country where he's not supposed to use intuition. It is supposed to be based strictly on science. And she has hammered it into him that a good veterinarian, a good doctor of any kind, and these are some of her comments through life to him, a good doctor of any kind uses their intuition.
A good anybody of any field.
That's what her belief is. That if you are a good grandma, if you are a good mother, if you will be a good father, if you are going to be a good partner.
Human.
Yeah. You have to believe and follow your intuition. And so he says, okay, so this is what I'm here for. Go. And I said to her, oh, shit, what the hell does that mean? What's go-go? Like, what does that mean? And she goes, oh, he wants the rest of his session to be teaching intuition. And I was like, what? And she goes, that's why he booked with you and not another medium. And I said, oh my God.
Because you teach.
Because I teach.
Interesting.
And so he waited 2 years to see me so that he could have a medium session, so that with his grandmother in particular, and so that he could get it from a person who actually teaches intuition. And so I said to her, oh wow, so you and I get to partner? And she said, would you please? So she's asking me, which I thought was absolutely so beautiful that she's asking me. And like, I'm delighted. I'm going to happy dance in the kitchen after this one. So I'm like, oh,
I am emotional today and I could cry at the drop of a hat. So I'm just trying to hold my shit together. the beauty of this. I'm gonna hate myself for saying this, but here we go. To hear that a man in this day and age is open to intuition, mm-hmm. I think alone could just make me like, oh, a little bit of hope. and then on top of that, this beautiful connection in so many ways that he has with his grandmother is just lovely, and he's getting access to that again. Then to be able to access you, and I mean, I know you, so I'm excited for him because of what I know. But then the level of trust that he gets to just automatically put into you because grandma's here and he trusts her, like, it just feels limitless when you have that level of trust, because integrity aligns, intention aligns, and now we have time to sit together. You know, I love it.
So he says to me, I've been listening to your podcast shows for the last 2 years.
Hello, Marco.
I have been listening that long. I understand you're medical intuitive. Mm-hmm. I understand you do soul contracts. I understand you communicate on behalf of animals and nonverbal people. Mm-hmm. I understand you have licenses in energy healing and study quantum physics. I understand. And he goes on and he starts telling me everything that he's learned about what I've done over my course of 64 years and the history of growing up in a funeral home, talking to dead people, like right from my childhood. He's like, oh my God. He goes, I listened to your podcast and it was like, I will wait forever to see this woman because I'm going to get my license. And I'm going to go into my practice and I'm going to live my life, but I will see this woman. I will show up. And so I said to him, do you know that I teach on Patreon? Like, do you know I have a platform? And he said, yes. He says, I'm going to join. He says, I just have been too busy mm-hmm. to get into it, but I'm going to. And I said, well, I teach it on Patreon. I said, and I teach it under active meditations, how to connect to the spirit world, how to open your intuitive gifts. And I said, and we have dream calls. And he goes, what? He goes, I'm an active dreamer. Mm-hmm. And I said, oh, I bet you are. Because when you're using your intuition, your dreams become more vivid, you have more recall, and it's all connected. That's why Patreon is set up in that way, so that it covers all the different tentacles like a course, mm-hmm. so that you're getting your intuitive intelligence growth, you're getting all of the different things. He's getting the calls with you, like all of these things, right? Mm-hmm. And he said, you can hear him like all excited. And he said, so am I allowed to use the next 45 minutes of my session? Because he had an hour booked. Can I use it for you to teach me with my grandmother? And I said, yeah. So I asked him if I could blend without having to announce it, because mm-hmm. typically in every session, I pause and say, may I have a teachable moment, please? And if the client says, yes, I teach. And then when I end the teachable moment, I say, I'm now ending the teachable moment. I will now channel. And I announce the teaching and I announce the channeling so that clients don't get confused and then have to say, well, did you channel that? Or did you... Was that just from you? Mm-hmm. And so I split it so that people know the difference between the two. And he said to me, I don't want you to have to split. I want you to be able to be fully yourself as a teacher with your intuition, telling me and teaching me everything. And I trust that when you need to separate it so I understand something, you will just do it because you feel you need to. But otherwise, I'm not questioning if it's coming from you personally as a teacher or you as a channeler. He says, I'm here for the information. And he says, and I'm here to observe what you're doing and how you're doing it. He said, I'm watching you on YouTube. I figured out I could, instead of just hearing it on a podcast platform. And I actually watch how you tell the stories. I want to see the character. He says, because I think as a veterinarian that people watch me as a person and that I'm understanding as a vet that I'm going to have my skill set and me as a person with my own animals. And all of me, my grandmother's part of me. Everything she's taught me is part of me. And he says, so I want to be able to develop what my grandmother began teaching me when I was a kid about my own intuition, but also everything about animals. But he said, Karen, she was just a teacher of life. He said, she just blended everything together. And that reminded me of my best friend. How she puts it all together in life as well. And keeping in mind what she can do as a professional, but also all of life's lessons, right?
Well, okay, so let's just do a shameless plug here. Like, Karen Barnes is a doctor of veterinary medicine. Yeah. She has been on our podcast show.
Yes.
So if you are like, and animal people are like this, they want more animal stories. So I would say, like, if you're loving this, go back and search through Coffee with the Sarlos, Karen Barnes. It's Barnes. She's been on the show multiple times. Mm-hmm. I think she did a SIPs episode with us mm-hmm. at one point too, if you're looking on Patreon. And I say this because she did a human animal connection, mm-hmm. right? Specifically on Coffee with the Sarlos. And it's lovely. And I think I push this on purpose because, well, get more of what you love. But also when you open up your gifts, when you're tapping into intuition, when you're integrating that part of yourself, because that's part of being a human being, you can't separate or compartmentalize life anymore.
Yep.
Right? Like, and I think for some people, and it makes sense when you're studying and learning, you want to like sit down, have a class from 6 till 7, and that feels compartmentalized. But once you start learning, life just flows in and out of logic, intuition, practicality, instinct, right? Like you have to mm-hmm. use all of it.
Oh, and as I know you know that emotional intelligence,
yeah,
which is part of the reason why he loves his grandmother, because she valued all of those components, even though she didn't have the books and the wherewithal at the time in the country that she lived to access all of that. Mm-hmm. But she was growing it within herself by being aware. And one of the key things, much like Karen Barnes, is that she had horses mm-hmm. and that there was this connection to having her own horses and several of them, where she understands really what energy is between the human and the animal experience. She had dogs. She had cats. Again, much like Karen Barnes, mm-hmm. having a farm and all of these animals, right? And what happens with the mice, with the, oh my God, I've been listening to Karen Barnes talk about, oh my God, I got an infestation on my property on the farm of all of these bugs. Now, I had to research it so that I don't go out and kill them yep. because they may be there for a purpose. I had to research it first in order to understand if they're killing out all of my such and such trees. I think they killed all our apple trees. Was that a good thing for something else on the farm? Mm-hmm. And I have to suck it up that I lost all my apples.
And this is a perfect example of integration.
Yes. Right?
Where you can't compartmentalize. Oh, I don't like mice, therefore.
Yes.
Or I don't like bugs, therefore.
Right.
Right? It's like, well, hang on a second. I might not personally enjoy this experience. Oh, yeah. But we, like, you understand what an ecosystem is.
Yes. And she's a biologist. Her, like, before she went into veterinary work, she got her education in biology. So Karen, I remember talking to her that last summer. I remember talking to her one day and I said, hey, what's new on the farm? And she said, oh, I have an infestation. They're in this certain type of Japanese tree and it's this kind of a bug. And I said, oh, okay. And so we chatted, we moved on. The next day I chatted with her and I said, hey, did you get rid of the bugs? And she goes, no. And I thought, why not? Like, I would have just killed them.
Blowtorch.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, blowtorch. Yeah. I might have set the whole farm on fire.
Totally.
Yeah, that sounds...
That's called ignorance.
That totally sounds like me. If it's about getting rid of a bug. No, Karen in biology was like, no. You have to understand its ecosystem. And I was like, what? And she goes, no, let me explain. I loved her explanation. So there she is, veterinarian Karen, putting on her hat in biology and saying, no, there's a whole ecosystem on the farm and on the planet and in the universe. And there's your intuition. And there's your emotional intelligence. And there's your science. And there's every aspect of being a human being right there. Right there.
Yeah. And I think what is such a gift about veterinary doctors specifically is that they deal with different species.
Yeah.
Right? And no disrespect to human doctors or doctors of humans.
Well, I think they do too. But that's another conversation for another day.
Fair. That's going into ETs. But like they have to see commonalities between species. So they're forced to look at and find similarities rather than what most of us humans do is focus on differences and set ourselves apart.
Yes.
Right? And pedestal and what life is worth more than another life. And yes. Vets don't do that.
Yeah.
Right? They look at quality of life and they look at, well, if this happened with deer and I have deer on my farm, what's the commonality between the deer and my animals and how can I help all of them?
Right.
Right? Like, I just think it's a remarkable type of human because I think it is a type of human that goes into that work.
Yeah, because they're looking, like you said, to see commonality, and I'm going to reword it and say connection.
Totally.
And biology.
Yeah.
So they're going to look at what you were trying to say, cell structures that are equal between species. So how can I apply healing to each of those species? How can I be helpful? How can we work together?
Mm-hmm.
So in the, oh, go ahead. Did you want to add something? I can see you.
Yeah, because I'm listening to your language and I love it because I can just hear some people being like, yeah, that's science. And they could come at it from a very stiff, standardized approach and be like, well, yeah, that's what you do in science.
Mm.
But we could also call it empathy, mm-hmm. right? And when you get someone, the human who loves the science and brings empathy into things, like you got an unstoppable human.
You do. Yeah, this is a master of being a human.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, back to Marco.
So Grandma and Karen Burns are these masters of being human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And they're getting the connection between everything, that everything needs each other. And this conversation then goes to the intuition, to the emotional intelligence. And he goes, now I understand why you and Kelly are teaching emotional intelligence. Because he says, just hear me out, Karen, tell me if I'm right or wrong. If you lack emotional intelligence and self-awareness, you can't develop your intuition. You can't develop empathy. Wait a minute. He says, this sounds like a patriarchy. He says, this sounds like misogyny. He says, I think I'm understanding politics.
Wow. Rapid fire connections there.
Right? Yeah. And he goes, oh my God, Karen. He says, I think I'm understanding what's going on. Mm-hmm. He says, I think I'm understanding where they want to pull all of these things apart to create the separateness. But in order to do it, you've got to create separateness right at the cell level of science. Mm-hmm. And you use science to destroy the whole species of human beings. Mm-hmm. And quite possibly all the species around it, much like Karen Barnes's Japanese bugs that ate her apple trees. Mm-hmm. If she goes out with the blowtorch, she may take down the farm. If we go out with the blowtorch, or some group does, we could take down the planet.
Yeah, and I'll just kind of reword that. The blowtorch would represent feelings,
yeah,
acting on feelings.
That's right.
And reactivity versus, okay, let me look into this. And using logic or science, I'll use logic and science kind of interwoven there, and saying, okay, there might be more to this. So instead of just going on my feeling, which is also different than an instinct.
Yeah, okay? That's right. Because
I think people connect the two and they're not necessarily the same.
Oh, perfect, Kelly.
Yeah.
There you go. And so there's a teachable moment.
Right. We're being conditioned right now to ignore science, ignore logic.
Yes.
And just react, which is causing more and more polarization, separateness, right, divisiveness. Yeah. And now we're fighting amongst each other.
Yeah. And not to pay attention to intuition, emotional intelligence, and connection. Mm-hmm. So we're being told to deny 99% of who we are as a human being.
How'd you go from 3/4 to 99%?
I just escalated.
Okay. Just so you're aware, there was no science behind her numbers, since we're talking about like integrity. Yes. That was dramatic effect. Okay.
Oh, that was fun for me. Right. Yes, that was absolutely not science.
Okay. Back to Grandma.
Grandma and Marco and I had an absolute ball of a whole hour. And a great connection where she got to teach again from the other side as a teacher, which I got to see her joy to be able to come through and say to him, hey, this is who you are at your core, Marco. Not because it's biology that I'm grandma, but that it's through that I shared what I knew by just being myself with you. So it's not necessarily my biology in a cell structure. It's my behavior. It's the way I chose to speak. It's the decisions I made. It's the care that I took. It's all of these things that have contributed to who I am. And then you get to play with that like putty. And you get to decide who you are.
Which we know alters your biology.
Yeah. And she explains how it's all connected. And he goes, well, what, the chicken or the egg? And she goes, no, it doesn't matter. That's not the question. The question is that they end up blending because everything is important. It was a beautiful experience for me as a medium to see how much Grandma had fun in the session. And how willing Marco is to make that connection for knowledge, for the knowledge that she wanted to share with him about who he is as a person, who he is as a veterinarian going forward, who he is as her grandson, and the possibilities of who he could be in all relationships in his life.
Again, all of his parts.
Yes.
That's integration.
Yeah. And she stands there at the very end and she says, now, you don't need to be a mirror of me. Be you. Mm-hmm. And he was like, what? He goes, that's the best. Mm-hmm. And he goes, because I've always wanted to be her. And he says, but she's telling me that I don't need to be the mirror of her, but to be all those aspects, but to be my version of her. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I said, she's giving you permission to do it your way and to still admire who she is and to try to emulate those things, but also to do it in your own way so that the power is within you. You are truly being an authentic version of you and not a copy of her. That's not what she wants for you. And he goes, oh my God, I am in love with that woman.
Yeah. Evolution can't happen that way if you're trying to be an exact copy of someone, right? You can't evolve if you're trying to be like that person frozen in time.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I love this. This was a lot of fun this morning. was emotional. It was fun. It was all the things. I love it. And I hope for, if you're still listening, if you stuck it out through this story, I do hope that you are consistently trying to draw parallels to your own life. And I know not all of us are as fortunate as Marco to have someone like this grandmother in their life. So we derive pleasure and meaning or purpose from other people's stories. That's the whole point of storytelling, right? So figuring out from this story, what do I want to take from her? Could she be my grandma today, right? And if I fell in love with a little bit of her, what aspects of her do I want to emulate in order to grow and evolve myself? That's the entire point of Coffee with the Sarlows. Thank you for listening to Coffee with the Sarlows. If you enjoyed the show today, please be sure to subscribe on your podcast platform and leave a review. New shows will air every other Saturday.